tech. I'm gonna show you around my whole place, from the basement to the deck. But I ain't gonna flush my toilet.
Well, I might. What the heck?
So I hope that you enjoy it right here on Blind Cool Tech.
Howdy, y'all. This is Rory Hoffman coming to you from South Carolina. Oh, wait a minute. South Dakota. What was I thinking? I think that bluegrass music kind of addled my brain for a minute. Anyway, this is Rory Hoffman, and I thought I would give you a tour of this massive, massive establishment in which I reside and work. And, So, I'm also chewing a piece of gum. It's really good, too. It makes really huge bubbles, so I'll try not to get any bubbles on the mics of the Edoral R9. And I do not have binaurals yet. I'm still deciding whether I want actually to have some. But for right now, I'm just using the mics that are built in. And, anyway, I'm at the top of the stairs. This is the second floor of the building, the top floor of the building. And right as you come to the top of the stairs, if you go straight, you enter the living room. If you take a right, you enter my bedroom and the resident Gale. Yes, we keep resident Gales here. Actually, that's my fan. Kill my fan for now. My fan is right in the doorway because this room... Oh, there's this telephone. I shall return post-haste. We got far, didn't we? Well, let's see here. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm grand.
Are you now? How grand?
Grander than a canyon.
Grander than a canyon. Huh. Well, how would you like to be on Blind Cool Tech?
Why, am I?
Yes.
Oh, good.
This is my brother Reed, everybody. So give them a salutation unlike any other.
Greetings, Blind Cool Techians, or Techites, or whatever you are.
Technicians?
Yeah.
Technicalities?
Something like that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. How'd your broadcast go?
Scintillating.
Sweet.
Scintillatingly, I guess I should say.
Scintillatingly, that's correct. Mm-hmm. Use your correct verbiage, or adverbiage.
Well, it's not like I talk for a living.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I got to the opening of my bedroom when the phone rang.
Oh.
I started at the door of my bedroom. So that's how far we got.
Great.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So now that the phone is done ringing, I showed them my resident Gale.
I didn't even know about your phone here. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And, by the way, what I was going to say is my room is the only room in this house with an air conditioner. And so, it has one of them little window air conditioners, and so I keep a fan right by the door to kind of put some of that cold air, the rest of that cold air, into the rest of the house. And it actually works quite well. It's not completely and utterly chillingly cold in here ever, but it stays tolerable. So, as you come in the door, and you go to the right... You've got my stereo, and what have I got on my stereo today? It's not a great stereo, it's just a nice little portable one with detachable speakers, perfect for a bedroom.
And who tastes the vodka?
Well, there was a decree of Chinggis Khan, he said that you can taste when you are young, you can drink a little bit when you're grown up, and you can drink as much as you want when you're old, so Mongols are quite moderate drinkers.
That's a very strong legacy.
Yes, it's a very strong legacy. And again, you know, Mongolia is cradle of nomadic civilization.
Something about people drinking in Mongolia. I didn't think I'd have that for you today, did I? No, I didn't.
I think
How about that? A little libation discussion right here on Blind Cool Tech, courtesy of Public Radio. I was listening to jazz on Public Radio last I listened to this radio, and now they're talking about Mongolian vodka. So we have no lack of culture here in South Dakota, my fellow Blind Cool Techites. So also on the same shelf as my stereo sits various CDs, cassettes, etc., etc., down below which are some drawers which contain things. I don't even know what all I've got down here, but some of my winter clothing, which I am not wearing anymore because it's July. Coming past that is the dresser on which sits my type and speak. Yes, I have an old Blazy type and speak. And I don't even know if it works anymore because I haven't used it in some years. And so I'm sure the battery is thoroughly drained. And a tape case with drawers that have cassettes in there. And another tape case. And two more tape cases. And down below the dresser, I have one CD case. Two CD case. Three CD case, four, five CD cases. This is where the bulk of my music collection is stored, which is not exactly huge, but it is very varied. It is very varied. And inside the dresser are all the things you would expect to have inside a dresser. So we won't go into that in great detail, I don't suppose. No, we won't. Okay, coming past that, I just had to share that with you. Will and Denise are so proud of their little beer burps. I thought I could do one probably just as good without any beer. Now we have turned the corner, and you have the window. Actually, I have the window. Actually, the window has itself. And not much going along this wall. I've got a chair here on which I sit. Would you expect to do many other things with the chair? No, you would not. So that's basically all that's along that wall. So then you turn. There's the air conditioner. There's my nightstand with my cassette tape player on it for talking books. And a patch cable that I use. It's a... What is it? It's a TRS quarter inch to an eighth inch stereo jack patch cable. Isn't that nice? Also on my nightstand is various and sundry other things, ranging from a power adapter for something or other, to cassette tapes, to a clarinet reed, to some cough drops, and Listerine strips, breath mint type things, and various other adapter ends for patching different kinds of cords together. So just kind of my all-purpose catch-all, whatever I happen to throw there stand. And going past that, as we continue to the left, is the bed. Queen-sized bed, which is big enough for me, just being one person. I enjoy it. Going past that, then you are on the other wall here, which is the last wall before you get back to the door again. So this would be the wall that would be on the immediate left side of the door. And I've got my closet with sliding doors. And inside it is clothing, as you would expect. And then past that is my other closet with sliding doors. Yes, that's right. The master bedroom has two closets in it. And this one has got more of my performance clothing in it for when I do shows and when I'm traveling and that kind of stuff. So that's how I keep all that stuff separated. And that's pretty much the extent of my room. And so now I'm going to turn the gale back on so that it gets warm all over the place. Or so that it gets cool all over the place. So as not to let it get warm all over the place. Coming out of my bedroom, continuing to the right is a kind of walk-in closet where in reside our jackets, extra bed linens, and a box which has something in it, which I can't remember what's in it. Folding chairs, ironing board, and actually what's in that box then is probably the iron. That makes very good sense now that I found the ironing board. So that's the exciting closet. Going past that, we enter the bathroom. Oh, the knob is locked, but no one's in it. That's weird. There. Good thing that door didn't get closed, or else nobody would be getting back in there. Bathroom is pretty standard, which you would expect in a bathroom. A sink on the left. I told you I wasn't going to flush my toilet. I didn't say I wouldn't turn on the sink. Towel rack, bathtub, which is actually going, that's actually if you just kind of go in the door and go straight ahead, then you run into the bathtub. There's a window above the bathtub so everyone can see me shower, and I'm sure they appreciate that. Actually, there's a shade that is pulled down, and the glass itself is kind of opaque, like you can't see in. And the only way you could see in is if you were very, very tall, like a giraffe, and could see into a second story window of a building. And then to the left, just across from the towel rack, which is on the right, is on the left, the commode. And so that's the bathroom. Isn't that exciting? Coming out of there to the rightward direction, you are at the other sliding door closet, in which extra leaves for our dining table, bath towels and other towels, and on the floor, cases in which reside soda pops of various nature. And kind of stuff you would expect to be in there. So, then we enter, as we keep going, the kitchen. The first thing in our kitchen is our old dining table, circa 1492, somewhere there. Actually, it's not that old, but it is my grandma's old table. She got a new dining set, so we inherited the one that she had. And her old chairs to accompany it, which make rather noise, but they swivel. I'm sure they don't look the greatest anymore, because I remember these from when I was probably, 10 years old. So they've been well used, but they suffice for a bachelor pad. Works quite well. We've got two of those. And just across from that, we've got the magazine rack thing with various issues of the Power Source magazine, which is the Christian Country Music Association's magazine, in which I've been featured numerous times or have had ads in, and also the Dakota Voice, which is my brother-in-law's conservative newspaper. It is a kind of national, mostly South Dakota, though, but he touches on national issues, too. But South Dakota politics and issues from the Christian conservative kind of viewpoint. I've got a few issues of those here. If anybody visits our home and wants some little reading matter that they can peruse, it's there for them, should they wish to avail themselves of that. Continuing, we have a calendar, which my mom put up just because
all homes are supposed to have a calendar in them. I have no idea if it's turned to the correct month, but Mom and Dad were just here over the 4th because Mobridge was celebrating their centennial. And so they came down to enjoy some of the festivities of that, and I was performing and all that during part of it. So I'm sure she probably turned it to the right month. But it's something I never think to do, so oftentimes it's probably on the wrong month, but care I not. You go past that, still trailing along the right wall. Actually, the table was kind of along the left wall, but the table is the most important thing to me in the kitchen because that's where I masticate my comestibles, and mastication of comestibles is very important to me. So, going along the right-hand wall further, we have the fridge. And welcome everyone to our fridge. That's right. We have a small diesel engine in our fridge, for we South Dakotans eat so much that it requires a special diesel engine to cool everything that we've got. Actually, that's not a diesel engine. I don't know what it is, but it's rather loud. As you can tell, it's just something that has to do with the motor of the fridge is obviously not working completely properly, but it keeps things very cold. It has never failed as long as we've been here. It works just fine. It just makes a hideous amount of racket. And within the fridge, all manner of exciting... We like variety here. We definitely like variety here. Both in what we eat and in what we drink. We've got Pepsi, we've got Mountain Dew, we've got orange pop, like a sun-kissed orange. We've got Sprite, we've got lemonade, we've got water, we've got milk, we've got iced tea, Lipton bottled iced teas. We've got iced mochas, Starbucks, them mocha, they're not exactly iced, but them cooled mocha Starbucks drinks that you can get that are quite yummy. Green tea, but we have no Mongolian vodka. I don't know how we missed that, but we there is no libation of any sort, actually, in this house. We are teetotalers. Well, Pepsi toddlers, mostly for me, but that's kind of what is visible in the fridge. So if you just kind of look in the fridge, you'd think all we do is drink here, but the door of the fridge actually has some various condiments in it. Ketchups, mustards, ranch dressing, spicy ranch dressing, maple syrup, tartar sauce, Miracle Whip, baby pickles. Mmm, yum, baby pickles. Hold on a minute. Oh, yeah. I decided I had to have a baby pickle. Mmm. Yes, very good. I have since gotten rid of my gum, by the way. And some Cajun, very spicy Cajun sauce that we got from some missionary-type people from a church in Louisiana who had come to visit us. Man, this stuff is very potent, I must say. Some Girl Scout cookies. My nieces are Girl Scouts. And some Dove chocolates. These are very good chocolates. I very much enjoy these chocolates, I must say. And then the bottom of the fridge has a, like a swivel thing. You can turn it, and it swivels out, and there is all kinds of stuff inside of the fridge, which has got more of our food items in it, so that we don't do anything but just drink in here. I see a bag of lettuce. I see an onion. Actually, two onions. I see some bacon. I see some lunch meat sausage. I see some puddings. Some of them little one-serving pudding things. The same with them Jell-O things, some cans of fruit cocktail, well, just various and sundry items. Yeah, so I'm not going to go into every single thing that I find in here because that would just be boring, but I just wanted you to get a nice feel for this diesel engine that we have in there. That is quite cacophonous. And now it's gone. Just like that. So evidently the door is pretty well insulated because it kind of masks that most horrific noise that you hear. The freezer below the fridge, below the diesel fridge, has all of our breakfast stuff in it. Well, and some other things. It's got some frozen garlic bread in there. It's got some push-ups in there. Those little sherbet push-up dessert things. We've also got some other apple pie a la mode ice cream things in here from the Schwan Man, which are most scrumptious and palatable. We got toaster waffles in here. And we've got Jimmy Dean omelets in here, although that Omelets the Easy Way podcast might be something kind of fun to try, but these are these Jimmy Dean ones are actually pretty good. I have to eat about two of them, though, every time I have them because they're not that big, but they've got, all you got to do is just take them and throw them in the microwave. And so quite a large variety, even though a lot of it is just throw it in the oven or throw it in the microwave or warm it up in a pan, but hey, we're bachelors. We don't do a lot of actually long involved cooking things. We're just not into that all that much, but it's a little bit more expensive to do it the Schwan Man way and other convenience ways like that. But just across from the fridge is to my right. Oh, there's various magnets on it and a notepad, a guitar magnet, another magnet that we got when I was at the Ryman Auditorium, and some other magnets that I don't know what they are. My mother is in charge of the decorative side of things because my brother and I are not decorative people. But just to the left of the kitchen is an island counter space type thing on which sits a bag of donuts, which have been here a bit too long. I'm thinking they were homemade donuts, and so they don't keep as long as regular donuts anyway because they are not preservatated to the max. Is that a word? But also on there is our toaster and our grill mate, our playing cards. Alright, back along the right side of the fridge again, right side of the kitchen again. I've gone back over to the fridge. The island was on my left. Fridge is on my right. We've got counter space on which is our electric frying pan and our old-fashioned microwave with the dial that you turn so I don't have to worry about digital displays, which I very much enjoy. Cupboard areas, which contain standard cupboard stuff. Crock pot, colander. Yes, we have a calendar and a colander. How incredible is that? Serving platters, plates and bowls, cups, coffee mugs, drinking glasses, all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to show you each individual drawer. Down below, pull-out stuff, too, which has our different cooking utensils and implements, sliverware, etc., etc. All right, you turn the corner. You got the sinks, double sinks. More counter space off to the left. And the cupboards up here, well, we've got the drain board where the dishes go, and more open packages of paper plates and paper or plastic utensils, big condensed lemonade jar thingy. And the cupboards above have more, you know, foodstuffs, cereal, hot chocolate mix, cappuccino, chips, and Bush's baked beans, various soups in cans, pack of instant potatoes, which work in a pinch if you just want something to go with something quick, muffin mix, muffin tins, crackers, and Ziploc bags, stuff like that. Mac and cheese, stovetop stuffing, hamburger helper, and such and such and so forth and so forth. Then you get to the range, which is four burners and an oven, And then you turn the corner again, and you are at the island. So, there you go. Well, as you go back into the hall from the kitchen, you come to our nice deep freezer, which is just across from the closet, which has the cases of pop in it and stuff like that. And the first thing I find when I reach in here is two big old sirloin steaks. We got a friend who is a cattleman, a rancher, and brought us some beef that he had butchered, and that I thought there were three of these things, though. I could have swore there were three of them. I fear someone has taken it in his head to purloin my sirloin. Oh dear, that will never do. Oh, here we go! There it is. It is buried under the elk. Yes, we've also got elk burger, which another friend of ours is quite a hunter, and he gave us some elk burger, which works really well in, like, hamburger helper or spaghetti or things like that. I wouldn't recommend making just regular burgers out of it because it has a slight gamey taste, but it works really well once you've got all them seasoning type things on it that you would put with spaghetti or taco meat or hamburger helper, etc., etc. Also in here, we've got lots of culinary delights from the Schwan Man. Frozen chicken patties to make sandwiches out of. We got some oriental meal kits, Chinese food type thing. I find some corn dogs down here. You gotta love them corn dogs if you're in the mood for something and you're just hungry real quick. Oh, we got a couple bags of tater tots here. We got a Tupperware thing of homemade chocolate chip cookies. Thank you, Grandma, for the homemade cookies. We've got some elk bratwursts. We've got, let's see, a frozen pizza down here, it looks like. Turkey roast. We've got TV dinners and Hot Pockets and a variety of stuff. Yes, indeed. So, there you go. So then you can go in to the living room. And there's actually two ways to get to the living room. You can get into it from the stairwell, or you can get into it from the kitchen. So I'm coming at it from the kitchen, coming out of the kitchen. And immediately to the right, when you come out of the kitchen, is my glider rocker. And it's a very comfortable glider rocker, but it is a cheap son of a gun that continues to break. The bearings go out on it and such, and it's a good thing my dad is a bit of a handyman because he can always manage to fix it. And the only reason I keep it around here is just because the chair part of it is so very comfortable, even though the mechanics of it are rather horrific. And so as you're sitting in my chair, the door to the kitchen is off to my left. And immediately to my left, I have a little... I don't know what you call this. It's just a little wooden thing that contains things. And inside of it, I've got a couple CDs. This is actually kind of where a lot of my mail goes that I haven't got someone to help me sort through yet. And CDs of artists that I'm supposed to listen to kind of like critique their music or projects that I'm supposed to be working on. That's where those CDs go. And there are quite a few horrible CDs in there, I must say, just because some of the people... I get to work on some very, very talented people, but then I also get to work on some very, very untalented people. One of the most talented people, I'm going to be producing Susie Luxinger's next album, who is Reba McEntire's sister, actually, would you believe. So I am I'm doing her next album, which will be exciting. To the right of my chair is an end table, which has my laptop sitting on it, and a USB cable for my Adderall. And
inside of this end table is kind of my catch-all. Everything goes in here from candy to guitar picks to power adapters to Zafoons. And so if anybody is wondering what a Zafoon is, I'll have to explain that to you when I do my musical instrument podcast, because the Zafoon is a musical instrument. Okay, continuing. To the right of that is, above my glider, I almost forgot to mention, above where I sit is my display shelves, which contain some of my trophies. And actually, while I go through this, I'm just going to sit back in my chair. That just got put up last week, so that's why I'd forgotten it was there temporarily. But so the shelves are right behind me now as I sit here. And I've got some of my trophies on there from high school. Like, I've got my Louis Armstrong Jazz Excellence Award. I've got my University of Mary Outstanding Jazz Musician Award when I went to the jazz festival there. Two Estes Park trophies from the first year in 98 when I won second in the international piano competition at Estes Park at the Christian Artist Seminar in the Rockies there. And then in 99 when I won the Grand Champion Instrumentalist with my guitar. Also my gold medal from the Music Olympics, which I entered just last month. Or actually it was about a month and a half ago now. It was the end of May. I entered in the country division and got the gold medalist in the country division. That was in Overland Park, Kansas. And my Instrumentalist of the Year award at the Agape Fest in Hugh Springs, Texas award is up there. My two awards that I'm most proud of are my Christian Country Music Association awards. I won both of those at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville. And it got telecast over GAC. Well, at least last year's did. The year before that didn't, because mine was one of the awards that was given away before the telecast. But those awards are not up here because I have those with me when I'm on the road traveling, and they kind of are in with as part of my display table that I have set up when I'm doing shows and performances. And so those awards are not here, so that's my little shelves that contain some of my various and sundry trophies. There might be one or two other things up there that I've forgotten, a little less significant awards and stuff like that that I've gotten over the years, but those are the main ones. Coming to the right, again, then, is the room. I'll have to explain this room later. I'm going to save this room for last, because this is a most intriguing room off of the living room here, which I'm just going to save. That's all there is to it. And after that is just a very uncomfortable wooden chair. To the right of that, we got another glider rocker, which I just acquired. Somebody just gave this to me because my chair was broken. As I told you, the bearings on it are quite hideous. And he says, well, if your chair is broken, I've got an extra one that I'm not using. I'm going to give it to you. And I'm like, no, Mike, I'm going to have this one of mine fixed here in just about a week or so. It's no big deal. And he says, don't even argue about it. I'm just going to bring you this chair. And so we got this chair, and it's kind of a nice glider leather chair. It's nice to have that kind of friends. And between this hard wooden chair and this glider chair is an exercise bike, which I don't use very often, but it was another thing that my grandma had that she wanted to give us. So I was like, okay, what the heck, we'll stick it up here, and you never know, someday I might use it. And behind this chair, if you work your way behind the chair, is about two steps down, and you're at the elevator. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a house with an elevator. Are we upper class or what? Well, this used to be a medical clinic, And so there's an elevator here for people with mobility infringements of one kind or another. If, you know, it's just hard for people to walk up the stairs, or if you're in a wheelchair or whatever, and it will take you all the way from this floor to the main floor down to the basement. And so, yeah, that's kind of cool. We have a nice elevator here. We actually have it disabled at the moment because I'm not so lazy that I can't run downstairs when I go to work. And so it just, we just kind of keep the electricity down here by not keeping that running at all times for no particular reason at all. But yes, we do have an elevator here, and it does work because I rode in it when we first moved in here. And also, back here, before you go down those steps, is my Saga Gitane DG250 guitar. It's a guitar designed to play gypsy jazz a la Django Reinhardt and Hot Club of France type music, old 20s, 20s and 30s and up into the 40s, early European jazz. It kind of borrowed from gypsy influences and jazz influences all at the same time, and combined to create this string band type music known as gypsy jazz. And I've got a guitar back here that recreates that sound very well, which I will demonstrate for you when I do my musical instrument podcast. But that's just kind of my guitar I have up here to jam on when I feel like playing something. If I don't feel like playing the Zaffoon, I play the Gitane. And so if you get up out of this chair, you get to our huge speakers for our radio, for our stereo. These are ancient speakers, probably from the 70s sometime, but they are huge. They are massive. They've each speaker has got a 15 in it, and a tweeter and a horn, and big wooden cabinets, and we've got a turntable. It's a radio with a turntable, which works, and an 8-track player, which nominally works. Let's see what's on this radio. Anything interesting? Nope.
Coming better and better all the time. If you feel passionate about Mobridge and all of our area youth, please donate to Mobridge's new swimming pool fund. Just stop by the Mobridge Chamber of Commerce on South Main and purchase a brick for yourself.
That's right, people. Start purchasing your bricks and support Mobridge.
For as little as $50, you'll have an engraved brick that will become part of the future Mobridge swimming pool.
This is very important.
What teamwork is all about. Donate what you can to Mobridge's new swimming pool fund.
Yes. I want to see a Larry ScootCon brick in our swimming pool tomorrow. Got it? Thank you. Support Mobridge. Okay. And we've got a... I've got some CDs sitting up here on top of the turntable. I've got my Mike Elonghi jazz accordion CD up there. I've got my Toots Thielemann jazz harmonica player. So I was in a... You know, I guess I was in the mood for some jazz played on unconventional instruments. I've even got a Buddy Emmons Plays Steel Guitar Jazz CD, but that's not out here right now. I've also got my Joy Williams Modern Christian Pop CD out here. And my compilation kind of various artists bluegrass CD out here. And so that's kind of what I've been listening to lately. Jazz, modern contemporary Christian, and bluegrass. So that's just a little bit of variety in my music collection. My music collection, I've probably got some music from every continent. I'm pretty sure that I do. And, well, I don't know if I have any ethnic Antarctic music. Not that I can think of, but is there any ethnic Antarctic music that I don't know? But if there is, I don't have any to my knowledge. But all other continents, I think I have music represented from each of them. And so I have a very varied, I like that phrase, very varied taste in music. Down below the stand where our stereo sits, we've got some LP vinyl records. Everything from Danny Davis and the Nashville Brass
to the Tijuana Brass, to the Chipmunks. Oh, yes, we've got some Chipmunk records. They were, I was great fans of the Chipmunks while I was growing up. And I think we've got some Chet Atkins down there and some Waylon Jennings. And so that is, it's rather a small LP collection, but we've got tons and tons of LPs at home. If I ever want any more, all I have to do is ask my mom and dad to bring some down, and I'm sure they'd be more than glad to accommodate. Going past that, we have another fan, which keeps Reed warm, or cool, as the case may be, and the left speaker, and we've got a power strip here, and this is Reed's end table with...
Timer set for 40 minutes clear.
Yes, one of those famous calculators. I've heard those on several other Blind Cool Tech podcasts, and we've got one. He's got his state tape player here, and... We go to the left of that, we've got Reed's glider, and there's actually a sack of bones in it.
Indeed.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm.
You're being rather quiet over there, Reed.
I'm just not stealing your glory.
Oh, steal away.
Yeah.
What are you up to?
Listening to your glory.
Oh, see? All in your quietude.
Yes.
See, nobody would even know that you were there if I didn't make you...
Exactly.
Identify yourself to the world. And he's a DJ, people.
Well, that's why I spend my 4 hours on the air yammering. Now is my time of silence and solitude and contemplation.
Yes, that's when he contemplates.
Yes.
And just to the left of his chair, well, to the right of it if he is sitting in the chair, but to the left of it if you're facing him, which I don't know why I'd want to do that. Good thing I'm blind.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I get. Yeah.
That's all you get.
I thought I'd get more eyes out of you than that. I guess not.
No!
Fine.
Carry on.
Okay, onward I carry.
Yeah.
We've got Reed's display. It's actually a great big huge office desk, computer desk, on which sits no computer. And a nice big office chair on which sits no office. And so instead, on this great big huge desk, Reed's got some of his display. Do you want to tell them any of what you've got?
Oh, what have I got? I've got...
Now, this had better be an authentic UK accent, because we've got plenty of UK listeners.
Yeah. Well, it's not, so I'll just disclaimer it. But, I don't know what's up there. My 100-point music plaque, my 200-point music plaque, my Louis Armstrong Jazz Award, my...
See, he idolized me so much he had to get the same award I got.
Yeah, whatever. I got an Outstanding Senior in Broadcasting Award. Where's your copy of that?
I never made it to being a senior.
Yeah, you drop out.
In college.
You flunky. I don't even know what else is up there. Those are the ones I can think of.
Okay. Well, then there's a lot of desk left.
Yes, there is.
So this is a most behemoth desk. So as we continue, we've got Reed's bedroom. I'm going to ransack your bedroom now!
Okay!
And as you get into the bedroom and you go along the right-hand wall, you find his hamper in which he hamps. And you've got his bed. And that pretty much covers that whole side of the room. On the left side, you've got his dresser on which I see a pair of headphones and some CDs. And I'm not going to look in his dresser. I will be that kind and give him that courtesy. His wardrobe, because this wasn't exactly a bedroom, but we just turned it into his bedroom because we didn't have any other room in here to turn into his bedroom, so we got one of them metal wardrobe thingies in which he keeps all of his closet, his clothing and stuff. What part do you pound on?
The top!
Oh, listen to this. Thank you.
Yes.
He has to do that very often. And so I thought I would just do it for him so you could all enjoy what he does if he were here to do it. And to the right of that, he's got a little nightstand thingy on which is nothing really to speak of. And to the right of that, we've got one of those little banana chairs, those little rocker floor chairs. To the right of that, he's got some shelving on which are our supply of talking books from the lending library,
and other boxes of cassette tapes that he's got. And are your CDs down here too?
No.
Oh, okay. His CDs aren't down there. Oh, and then to the right of these shelves, ladies and gentlemen, extending from the ceiling all the way down to the floor and piled up on the floor. Would you tell everyone what you have?
A Brobdingnagian assortment of keychains.
Yes, Brobdingnagian. Mm. It's very Brobdingnagian.
Brobdingnagian, you big dork.
Well, whatever. I taught them masticate comestibles. You can teach them Brobdingnagian.
Yeah.
So, do you want to give everybody a little bit of info as to what all various and sundry types of keychains you have on there?
Oh, Lord have mercy.
He will.
Everything suffice? Kitchen sinks and spy glasses and jackknives and bottle openers and cap guns and whistles and strange creatures of unknown origin and your basic ordinary keychains. I even have some of those and thermometers and games and I don't even know what all. Many. Probably pretty much anything. Oh, a model of Washington, D.C., the entire city in one keychain.
Yikes.
Yeah. I don't know, pretty much everything.
A Bible?
Yeah, a Bible.
He's got a New Testament, which is very, very small.
Yeah.
I think he could probably fit John 3:16 in Braille on that whole thing. But it's actually in print, the whole New Testament, isn't it? It is,
yeah.
The whole New Testament, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then once you get past his Brobdingnagian pile of keychains, he's got a window. Blinds pull down, or the shades pull down. He's got more shelving on which are more things of cassette tapes. His stereo is down here. Do you have anything about Mongolian vodka in your stereo?
I doubt it.
Yeah. And that's pretty much his room. He's got a fan to keep him cool as he sleeps at night, just to the right of his stereo. And there you go. This is now we're by the hallway. When you come out of Reed's room and go to the right, you're back into the hallway by the stairwell. You come out of that, keep going right. There is another end table with really nothing much on it, but a few of my extra guitar pedals and extra sets of headphones and different things in there that I don't use so much anymore. And then our nice couch. And this is a couch circa, I don't know, 1512 or something. It has been around ever since I was born and before, because this is my grandma's couch again. And it's a very long couch, so it works out rather well because I'm a very long person when I'm stretched out. I'm over 6'2 and about 220 pounds. And I don't have a surprisingly beefy voice for that, but I don't know if you would be able to guess by listening to me that I'm 6'2 and 220 pounds, but I am. It reads about 5'8 and 160-some pounds?
Exactly.
Yeah? All right, so he's significantly lesser in stature than I. And, you know, one could compare that to brain power as well, but we won't go there.
Exactly. I was valedictorian and didn't drop out of college like some people I know! Aren't you glad you wanted me to chime in on your podcast?
Yes.
Yeah.
At least you're making it interesting. At least people know you live.
I live, I breathe.
He lives, he breathes. He's not just innate.
Yes.
And, so, yeah. Nice, soft couch. I very much enjoy this couch of a Sunday afternoon while I'm listening to my polka music. Which I actually do, yes. There is a radio show for all the old people in town who are still into polka music, although I'm only 28 years old, and I still happen to be into polka music, just enough to listen to it once a week. And if you listen to my career podcast, you will have heard me do a polka for you, so you know that that is true, that I do enjoy polka music on occasion. And I kind of stretch out here of a Sunday afternoon and take a nap and listen to the polkas, and yes, it all is very nice. So, okay, now, directly across from the couch is this room that I was going to tell you about. So welcome to our echo chamber! Yes, we also have an echo chamber in our house. Isn't that nice? It's a very, very large room. Wooden floors. That's from the door to the back wall. Now I'm going to go to the right corner and walk across to the left corner. Right there is the left corner. So it's a very large room. And it's a great room to practice my opera! Yes, I like to sing my opera in here! Even though I don't know any opera, no opera, it's fun to pretend I know some opera, so I can sing in the loud room and clip the mics! Let's turn on the AGC and see how that works, oh yeah! Well, I'll be interested to see how that comes out. Yes, I will. But this is just a very large, unfinished room. And now that I'm done singing, I think I'm going to turn the AGC off! I'll turn it off and return to the uncompressed state of recording. Thank you. Yes. Okay. Well. All right. But I don't know what they were intending this room to be, but it smells like fresh paint in here now because we just painted the room and textured, spackled the ceiling. And they're going to put carpet in here, and they're going to furnish it, and it's just going to kind of be a rec room type slash jam room. If we have a bunch of artists here in this studio, and downstairs we're going to set up a bunch of sleeping quarters and stuff because the downstairs isn't used for much of anything now of this old clinic building. And so if we ever just want to, you know, kind of have a nice little jam room and we want to have a bunch of company and just kind of have some of my old instruments up here that I don't use to record with and just do whatever with. So it's just a great big huge room, and I don't know how much it's going to deaden out once they get carpet and everything in here, but I rather like it as it is right now. Yes, I do. And one other thing that is amazing to do in this room. Yes, people, like I said, we don't lack for culture here in South Dakota at all. Not a bit. All right, well, I'm going to exit this large room. And if I can find the steps without tripping over them, that is. Yes, I can. Way to go, me. I'm so proud of myself. All right. And back into the living room we are. You still alive out here?
No.
No?
No.
All right. Can I have your stereo?
Nah.
How about your dobro?
You can have one of the strings.
One of the strings? Not very kind of you. All right, so that is the house, people. And, right at the stairwell, as you go down the stairs, we have a fire extinguisher. Yes, we do. And, all right, well, let's take you downstairs into the main level of this building, shall we? Yes, we shall. Alrighty. Alright. This is the main area. Let's put the
house door on the right. Take a right. Go down some steps. This is the south entrance of the building, which is the entrance I usually go in because it's the one nearest to the apartment. And just across from us is a gas station. There's this door, and then if you turn right on that door and go forward, you find a railing with a handicap ramp, which will lead you into the building. So you can get to the main floor without having to go down those steps. And well, that door is locked. Okay. Good. I wanted it to be. I hoped it was. Get up for the night. Sometimes this key wants to be a little stubborn and obstinate at times, but there we go. First room on the left here is a little kitchenette. This is just for people we have staying here. We've actually got a guy in the basement tonight. Actually, he's here most nights now because he's kind of working for us temporarily, and it is about...
It's
11:19 p.m. So that's why I'm not making a lot of noise down here. I'm just talking more quietly. He's a level below me, but still. Past the kitchenette, you take a turn and go to the left. If you were to go straight, there's big double doors here, which takes you out into the main lobby area. But I'm going to take you this other way around. And so we're past the kitchenette, taking a left, taking a right. Box in this little room. It's kind of a storage room we're going through. Oh, new stuff here. Alright, now we're into another hallway, and this door off to my left is the outside door for the handicap ramp that I went up and showed you. This is where it is on the inside. Alrighty, go down this hallway. Reed is working in his studio. His is the first door in this new hallway. And on the right-hand side of the hall is his room.
Yeah, man.
What you working on this late at night?
Not working. I'm just going to play around on the internet and read lyrics in the set.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I heard steel guitar.
That was the Calvary Cowboys.
Yeah, so that's why I figured you were working on something.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Oh! Well, I'm showing people around downstairs.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Well, that's just glorious.
So this is the first door on the right.
That's right.
In this side of the hallway, and this is where Depot Radio happens.
Yay! Ow.
Depot Radio is our internet radio station. Go to depot-radio.com. depot-radio.com. And you can hear Reed's dulcet tones on a daily basis, and Wolfman John's also. Just depends on what show happens to be playing, because we just put up a bunch of shows on our server, and then they just kind of play
on kind of a random rotation thing, because we don't have enough people here or enough revenue being generated to keep, you know, full staff all the time. And so, but it's more like a radio station than a internet radio station, because we have like personalities, DJs, and such as that. And Reed is one of them. It's not just like a place that streams a bunch of music. So you come in to the room, and immediately on your left is his PSR 225 keyboard. Yeah.
It works better when you turn it up.
And if you turn it up, too.
Yeah.
You got anything nifty on there? You got that song on there that you recreated?
Half of it, because I had to do it in Sonar.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh. So you don't have anything on there to show them?
Nothing spectacular.
But this is the main tool he uses to create all his music beds for his commercials, station liners, promos, all that kind of stuff. And on the right side, right over here, is really nothing. There's a fan, a stool. And so back over on the left, you have his desk, his main desk. And do you want to let people know some of the things you have on here?
Oh, sure. Well, the very first thing on here is a odd little gizmo that we use to plug a telephone into the mixing board for when I do artist interviews. You could spend anywhere from $50 to $2,000 to get a phone system for a radio station. We chose the $50 version, so it's just a little cardboard box-looking thingy with some switches on the front and some wires hanging out the back. And if you open it up, there's a bunch of circuitry in it, so kind of a cheap version. And
but it does the trick. If you listen to any of his whistle stop programs, you will hear the telephone system in action.
Yes, but it's rather hideous if unedited. It records the phone much quieter than it records my microphone, so after I record an interview, I have to go through and edit it sentence by sentence and turn up all the phone parts. So that's kind of a pain. But, anyway, behind that is my mixing board, little four-channel thingy, and my microphone's in there, and my laptop for streaming the computer, or streaming the music, I should say. And then my recording studio computer is plugged in there, and my keyboard, and my little voice processor thingy. And, one of the speakers for my studio computer is back there on the left side. And next to my mixing board is my laptop, which is where I have all the music for the station that I stream. And I have a braille display hooked up to it so that JAWS doesn't have to speak over the air, because that would just not be good. So we got the laptop and my braille display. Next to that is my mic and microphone stand. Next to that is the keyboard for my recording studio computer. And behind that, in a most dusty fashion, I might add, from having the window open, which I don't need anymore now that we have air conditioning, is my voice processor. Actually, it's Roar's voice processor if you want to get technical on it. And then the right speaker of my studio computer. So that's my desk, and it's got drawers full of CDs and junk. And so that's that. And then to the right of that is the tower for the studio computer, etc.
Yes, and behind him...
Yeah, that's useful.
Is a sink, because all the clinic rooms had a sink. And so, yes. Anything that goes over here?
Nope.
No? There's a window over here.
Window.
Yep. So, yeah, check out DepotRadio.com. He plays
Depot
music.
Depot Radio. Nobody's supposed to go to DepotRadio.com ever.
So, he does artist interviews, a few different other features. They're just going to start a series of live music features from a conference that we were at that we did live video editing for them, or live video recording and productions. And so we're going to take the audio of that and feature some of this music for the connection, it was called. And so listen to some of the live music and listen to some of the independent artists that you've never heard of probably before, because we don't play major label stuff here. It's all independent. And, yeah, so
This is where it happens, people. And I will leave you alone.
Okay.
You have fun reading your email and reading lilacs and...
I will.
Smelling the lilacs and...
Yes, exactly.
Yes. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye!
Directly across from him is a room that is basically just a junk room. A storage room. There's shelving in here. There's boxes of things in here. There's TVs in here. I don't know. Just it's kind of a storage room where things get stored that we're not currently using at the moment. But so I shouldn't exactly call it a junk room because it's got useful things in it. Yeah, so nothing too exciting about this room. I think we've got some CDs stored in here, too, and some DVDs, etc., etc. The next room on the right is empty. We have nothing going on in there. The next room on the left is our vocal room. And, usually we have the air conditioner turned off, obviously, so that you're not hearing the air conditioning when we have people in here singing. But back in here is where... Oops, I'm about to tip a music stand over. We got some of them portable, movable sound walls in here that we can put in whatever room we need them in. But over here... is our microphone, or big microphone stand. It's got a Neumann mic in it right now. I forget exactly which model, but it's about a $1,250 mic. And so it's a pretty good mic. And there's another music stand in here. We've got two music stands in here, apparently. But it's not a very big room. And... yeah, so that's what goes on in this room. Got a pair of headphones in here, and on the floor you would find a bunch of wiring that goes underneath the floor, through the basement and then comes back up in the main control room. So that's what goes on in that room. You can hear the air conditioning units fairly well now, so... we kind of get it chilled down in here, and then we turn them off if we're going to be doing a lot of recording with microphones. If I'm just using keyboards or direct-in things, it's really not a big deal. Next door on the left is a bathroom. And just a small bath with a toilet and a sink. That's about all that's in here. And across from that, on the right side, is our drum room. And right now we've just got a practice kit in here. It's not a very good kit. This is my old kit, actually, that I used when I was between 10 and 15 years old. And... obviously, it's got some chimes hanging on there. We've got a much better kit that we record with that we can bring in here. But this is just kind of a practice kit to have here. And much harder than that, because as I said, we've got people downstairs, and so that's why I'm using brushes and all that kind of good stuff. But this is where we would record drums ordinarily. We've also got a great big Ampeg amp, bass amp in here, so this is also kind of used as kind of a jam room if we've got musicians in here. We've got you know, that want to kind of rehearse and all this kind of stuff. It's a big enough room where you could get a few guys in here comfortably. But yeah, so that's what goes on in this room. Back along the left side of the hall, we get to my room. This is the room in which I do all of my recording. You can hear the fan blowing in here. Actually, I can stop that for now, just for the sake of quiet. There we go. All right. Let's tell you a little bit about this room. Matthew had a buddy of mine in here today, and he left his pop can in here. Anyway, okay, so I'm back at the door. Along the right is a Supro lap steel with matching amp. And something is sitting on top. No, it's resting against my other pedal steel. That's why it's rattling, but that's the pedal steel with a matching, or the lap steel with a matching Supro amp. It goes back to the 50s sometime is when this was made. And sitting behind that is my pedal steel guitar. And it's currently covered up and has got some things on top of it now. Some mail that I got today. One of the guys who works here just ran it into me, and so I just threw it up on top of my steel real quick until I got back up to the apartment where I could take it, and then I forgot to take it. And so it's just sitting here now, but I will demonstrate that a little bit more when I do my musical instrument podcast. Continuing along to the right, this is my XP80 Roland keyboard. And this is the master controller that I use. This is my main keyboard. And that's pretty much what's going along the right-hand side wall. So if I go along the wall that's in front of me then, it starts with a big rack. And on top of this rack is two reference monitors. That's where the speakers are. And then I've got in the rack itself two Delta 1010 cards, because this is also our portable computer. When we want to record on location, then we take this rack with us. And it's the one that's also in my room for when I do recording. Below the Delta 1010 cards is power distro, well, more like a power supply, like a rack-mounted power strip, really. But it's got way better circuitry in it than just a regular power strip. But just for the sake of ease of explaining, that's what it is, a power distribution thing. Under that is my Roland Phantom XR synth module. And below that is the rack mount computer, which I use to run Sonar and various soft synths and sound fonts and Giga Studio things and such as that. So that's what's actually in the rack. And then below the rack is my mixer. It's a Mackie mixer. And that's what everything kind of patches into. And then that's what I plug all the keyboards or my guitars or whatever I'm using into, and then it comes out of the board and into the one of the Delta 1010s, which we use as our sound card for recording. And so that's a very cursory and brief explanation of what's all in the rack. Behind the rack, again, is wiring, which leads downstairs and eventually winds up in the master control room, where we do all our mix downs and final editing and all this, because mostly I just do tracking in here because I'm not proficient enough to do all the really intricate editing that needs to be done to do final mixes
I mean, I can do final mixes if it's low-budget stuff, but if we're working on Reba McEntire's sister, I don't quite have the skills to do that. And so we've got another engineer who does that. And so this room connects to the master control room as well, and this also connects to the vocal room. So, you know, if somebody's in the vocal room, I can hear them in here, and we can hear them in the master control room, and et cetera, et cetera. A lot of wiring, it's kind of hard to explain, but there you go. And so that pretty much takes up this wall. And then going along the next wall, I've just got some instruments laying out here. I've got my Larrivé acoustic guitar, my mandolin. I've got an AKG C1000 sitting here, which I use to record acoustic instruments like guitars, mandolins, banjos, etc. We've got lots of mics around here, but that's the one I have been using. That's the one I use most often. That's kind of my general go-to mic. Just I really like the way it sounds, and it's a small, it's not a huge mic, and they're not super, super expensive, and so I'm not terribly, terribly worried if I drop it or whatever. It's not like having a big old $1,200 Neumann in here or something like that, so that's the mic I most often use. We got a stool. I've got a PV Classic 30 amplifier, guitar amp, and it's got a nice warm tube sound for recording, and I don't like to use mega amps for recording because I'm not a rocker, for one thing. I don't do a whole lot of rock music and that kind of stuff, and this works really nicely just for a nice recording amp. It sounds really good mic'd, and you know, if you want a slightly bigger, fatter sound, you can always do some EQs to it to make it actually a little bit fatter than it is in real life. And you know, just knowing how to run the equipment you got saves you from having to have lots of equipment, is what I've really come to notice running a studio. Some studios have so much more than we have, but the products that they put out are so much less. And that's not a biased opinion, that's just fact. And, you know, there's some studios that have a ton of stuff that know how to use it. But we have what we need. I mean, there's always more stuff we would like to have, but it works very well, and we know, you know, how to use everything we've got pretty much to its fullest potential, and that's way better in my opinion than having tons of stuff that you really don't know what it all does, but you just have it. And I just about tip over my jazz archtop guitar, but it wasn't standing upright, so it didn't fall that far. Holy crap, Matt, how many cans of pop did you drink? Japers. I just sent another can flying. I'll find it sometime. Oh, there it is. That's two cans I have to take upstairs with me. Jeez, friends. I have no respect. They have just no respect at all. Throw it in the sink for now. We're with his other one. And then on the last wall, we have a closet. And inside this closet is where I keep everything else, all my other instruments that I don't have just laying about. I've got the case for my XP80 here. I've got my Roland VG8 guitar synth in here. I've got an accordion in here. I've got a breath controller, wind controller thing in here. I've got my saxophone in here. And two electric guitars, my nylon string classical guitar, dobro, and then up above I have a bag full of harmonicas, a jaw harp or two, a melodica, a Digitech talker, which is kind of a vocoder thing, and then a basket that has a bunch of odds and ends in it, various patch cords and accessories that I might need while recording. And that's pretty much what is in my room. And so I'll take you out of here and into the main room. Very well, the main control room anyway. Oh, it's locked. right. And this is the main control room in here. And we've got the first thing, the nice executive leather couch. Oh, yes, this is a joy. When I'm sitting in here and just producing, I'm listening to people in the vocal room or one of the other chambers recording, and Eric's in the engineering chair, and I'm producing over here, telling them what to do. I'm laying back on this nice couch. All right, Eric, that note's out of tune. You need to tune that phrase. Or, all right, could you sing that line with a little bit more energy, especially on the word phenomenon? Okay, maybe that's not a good word for a song, but yeah, so that's where I get to hang out. It's most enjoyable, I must say. And then we've got, in front of that, the executive leather chair, upon which either Eric or I sit, depends on who's running the mixing council. And to our left, as you sit in the chair, you see two computer monitors. He runs a dual monitor type scenario, and wireless keyboard there. In front of me is the big, huge mixing council, and it's covered up right now. And over to the right is our patch bays and our effects processors, our Lexicon MPX processors, some external hard drives, the tower for the main recording computer, which is in here, the sound cards for the main recording computer, all kinds of stuff in this rack here. And yeah, so mostly what goes on in here is editing and mix down. That's what happens in this room. And above, we've got reference monitors. There they are. There's the right one is, and the left one, as you would surmise, is off to your left. So yeah, that's what happens in the main control room here. And just across from the control room is another studio where we occasionally do some video editing. When we create music videos or live performances, I capture them on video. And so it's got another executive leather couch in here, and some computers, and a whole bunch of DVDs and tapes, which the video is recorded on, and all this kind of good stuff in here. I don't even know what's a whole lot about what's in this room. Computers and stuff that you would use to do video editing. I don't do a lot of video editing. I would expect you could appreciate that, so I don't know exactly what's all in there, but that's what happens in that room. And right between those two rooms, at the very end of the hall, is kind of the fix-it room, where we solder cables or, you know, fix whatever needs fixing, provided we can get it fixed and don't need to send it away. Kind of our utility room, where we just have all kinds of things that you use to repair things and that kind of stuff. Kind of the all-purpose. This is where everything goes, repair-wise room. Oops. Didn't want to do that. All right, so that's the end of this hallway. So now I'm going back down the hallway. And I'm going to make a left at the end of the hall. And we will be in the main reception area. What would be the reception area when it was a clinic? And I'm just trailing along here. One of my favorite things in this area is about, I just went under some air conditioning ducts there, is A very cold one. One of those with a cooler built in it. All right. And, another main feature of this room is, of course, the big reception desk. And, there's all these little separate spaces where different people would have been working back when it was a clinic. Here's a wall, here's another opening. And, here's a wall. And here's another opening, and et cetera, et cetera. On the other side of which, you go through this door, and now we're in the main office area. This is where everything gets done. Phone calls get made, things get copied, things get mailed, things get put into the various databases. Things get entered into, this is just where it happens. Lots of computers in here. And our server is in here. And, fax machines, copiers, etc., etc. And this is that main part out there is more of the kind of reception area where we do mailings and this kind of stuff. This is the main computer room in here, as I'm sure you can tell. Got computers to our right, computers to our left, computers in front of us. And many things going on in this room. But this is a space podcast, not a description of each and every project we've got going on in here, so I'll suffice it at that. That's the main computer room. Also by the water fountain was another bathroom, if you needed a bathroom. Coming right off the office, in a most hideous and insidious, and dare I say perfidious, location, are steps which lead the basement, one of the ways to get to the basement. And I've just about taken a tumble down them many a time, because if you are over a little bit too far to the right, you plummet down the steps. But if you don't want to plummet down the steps, you go to the left, you continue down this hall. And eventually you reach a door which is the front entrance of the building, which will take us out onto the deck. It's just a standard deck. We don't have a lot of deck furniture or anything out here yet because we've been painting it and staining it and such as that right now. So, but this leads out onto kind of the main street of Mobridge, and just across from us is a Dakota Plains family restaurant and various things like that. So, since there's no deck furniture or anything out here, I'm not going to spend any more time out here, but yes, this is the deck. So, if you want to come to the deck, just make sure you stay along the left as you're trailing the hall, or you'll plummet down the stairs. And then when you're coming back through the hallway, make sure you stay on the right, or else you'll plummet through the stairs. Then if you take a right as you're coming back in, then you get into the whole other wing. Now there's rooms and halls going all the way down this direction with different... these are mostly unused rooms, and there's a bunch of stuff in the halls and everything like that. This is actually space we're going to try to get rented out, maybe as office space, what have you, because it's currently completely unused. So that's a little bit about the main floor. That's the main points of interest of the main floor. And in the basement, I'll probably take you down there, but not tonight. But so I'll save that for another time. So I will continue this later. All right. Bye-bye. All righty. here I am in the main office area. And heading down the... down into the bowels of the earth. It's nice and cool down here, that's one thing. But there's not much of interest down here. This is just a big central location, as I'm sure you can hear. Shelving all over the place. There's not a lot that goes on down here anymore. Just a lot of storage space, and John has his room down here. And there's we're doing a lot of remodeling and stuff down here, trying to get some things set up a little bit nicer down here so we can actually put people down here, kind of turn it into rooms. And this is, you know, just a bunch of rooms down here, and nothing extraordinarily interesting in any of them to speak of. A bathroom, little room in here. Just got, I don't know, it's just kind of where you get access to some of the electronics and you know, fuse box and I don't know. I don't think I'm going to spend much time down here. The boiler rooms are down here. Or the, like the furnace for the furnace. It's hot water heated. This building is. And yeah. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time traipsing around down here because it's not going to be very interesting for you to listen to, because I don't even know my way around here all that well. I don't spend time down here at all, because there's nothing really down here of interest for me. Wonder what this room goes into. Oh, just a room. Imagine that. So yeah, that's the general, you get the picture of what's down here. Just a bunch of rooms and a bunch of other rooms and a bunch of other rooms. And they've all, there's, in a lot of these open areas, there's a lot of shelving. Where apparently they stored things down here. But this clinic, I don't know if I ever told you, comprises some 70 rooms. So it's pretty mammoth, really. And here's another little room. And so we've got more room than we know what to do with right at the moment. But some of these rooms, as I mentioned, are going to be turned into sleeping quarters. It's a pretty mammoth building in which I live here and work, and I like it here, and so with that, I think I'm going to sign off, go through a little hallway now again to get back to where the steps are. R. Hoffman at sdplains.com, if you feel like contacting me, that's how you can get a hold of me, or Rory at RoryHoffman.com. Is my email that's directly linked to my website. And yeah, I guess that's going to do it for me. So with that, I will bid you all adieu. And I don't have a fun little song to go out with, I'm afraid. One original song per podcast, I fear, is about all I'm going to be able to accomplish for you. Anyway, been great talking with y'all, and I will see you on the list. All right, bye bye.